And that is what we are going to be talking about here on Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, February the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2015. And with me, boy, you sure look beautiful today, Mark. Oh, wait a minute. It's not Mark. It's Mary and Joni are in for a few minutes. And so we're going to hear from, boy, it's more fun looking at you two than Mark. So. oh, I'm sorry, Mark, your mic is down. Okay, what have you got to say for us today?
Well, we're back again, and we just wanted to thank all of the supporters who contributed to KFUO, I should say partners, during our Share-a-thon this past weekend. We also want to let you know that there are still opportunities to continue to give. Mary, you want to tell them about that?
That's all right. You can give anytime online at our website, kfuo.org. If you go to our website, you can click on a button that says Give Now, Support Now at the very top, and it will take you through all the steps. It's really simple. Or if you would like, you can call directly to me, Mary Schmidt, at 314-996-1518, or into Joni Harwell at 314-996-1512. And
we will be happy to also send you our packages of thank you gifts that we have to say thank you, I should say, for your pledges. And we did have a wonderful share-a-thon. We reached just under $94,000, and some additional gifts have continued to come in. But I wanted to, especially today, to announce a gift. Marie Delasus, who I believe is a member of Pastor Smith's church congregation, called in, and member of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. She said she enjoys listening to Pastor Tom Baker and her pastor, Pastor Smith. And Marie became a day sponsor, and she chose December 18th, which will be her 97th birthday. She told me I could announce that, and I think if I reach 97, I'm going to shout it to the world. So happy birthday, Marie, and we know it won't be till December. We're going to say happy birthday anyway, and thank you for becoming a day sponsor. And again, if there is anyone who would still like to partner with us, please do so. You help us share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. And once more, Mary, where do we go?
You can go to kfuo.org and give online, or you can call me, Mary Schmidt, at 314-996-1518, or Joni Harwell at 314-996-1512.
Thank you.
And so you're going to shout it to the world in, what, 3 years?
Yes, then I'll be 97.
Okay, yeah. Something. I was just a guess. And that's Mary and Joni. We love them coming in because it always means good news, so you're welcome anytime. And while they switch chairs, we're going to play one more stanza of At the Lamb's High Feast. So, Pastor Mark Smith, you know this lady, Marie Delasus, is that how you...
Marie Delasus. Oh, she is really something. She is, you'd never guess she was that age. I'm telling you, I hope I look that good at 97. Let me tell you, she is an energetic lady, and...
Is she glad you have an elevator?
No, actually, she is not able to make it to church. I get out to visit her. On a regular basis.
Well, we certainly thank her for that wonderful gift.
Yeah, I sure do, too.
As Joni and Mary said, they can continue to be giving gifts. So just do those phone numbers, and we'd love to have you. Now, as you know, I also pay KFUO to be on the air now, so you can go to my website, lawandgospel101.com. And at the bottom of the page, you can provide us with a gift, because it goes directly to Law and Gospel, and then we hand it over to KFUO in order to keep up with our payments here. But there's another thing we're doing. I know about 2 months ago, you also were in attendance at my first seminar at Emmanuel Olivet.
Yes, it was very good.
And we had our second one last Saturday, and Wes Reimnitz showed up.
I heard I really missed a good one.
And what's happening now is people are asking whether I'd be willing to come to their congregation. And in fact, just yesterday, a pastor did call me, and I'm going to be going there on a Saturday to do the same kind of thing. But I'm willing to go just about anywhere in the country. We would do it on a Saturday, then I'd preach on Sunday, or I could preach on Sunday, and then the seminar would occur Sunday afternoon, maybe after a potluck or something like that. If you're at all interested, just email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And I can't promise I'm going to bring along Mark Smith, because you have something you do every Saturday.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I have a service every Saturday evening, right?
You have a worship service, right. Yes. Now, I do know, and you have a good reputation of doing sermons, but has anybody ever hummed your sermon?
No.
No.
No, nobody, as far as I know.
No, and that's correct. In this month's Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly, we have an article by the Reverend Dr. John Vicar.
Oh, John Vicar, right.
Yeah, he's executive assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Yeah, he was helping with the Share-a-thon.
That's right. Week. Oh, yes. Right. And you know what the title is? Singing Sermons.
Singing Sermons.
He says, have you ever hummed a sermon on the way home from church? Now, of course, you can't really do that, even though the pastor surely gave you something good to take home. No, you really can hum a sermon, but the fact that we so often find ourselves humming hymns underscores what St. Paul is getting at when he declares, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's Colossians 3:16. And as I read his entire article, it came to mind that we need to say this more often. The reason we spend a whole Tuesday going over a hymn is that the hymns that are usually chosen are
hymns of
sermons.
The day. Yeah. Well, you're right. Of course.
They and are a sermon in and of themselves.
You know, people wonder sometimes why we sing all the verses. Well, sometimes if you cut out the last couple of verses, you cut out the best part of the sermon, so to speak.
Yes, yes. I remember being at a pastoral conference, and they opened up with just the first hymn. Or, I'm sorry, the first stanza of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And they ended, on earth is not his equal. And then some pastor recognized, that's talking about the devil. So he said, let's sing verse 2 also. But that's your point.
That's right.
Is that sometimes if you just leave out a portion or something like that. Yeah, I got to be careful when I go and preach elsewhere. I remember one time was 6 verses, but the bulletin said sing verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. I was going on with 3 and 4. And I said, boy, this doesn't sound like what they're doing. But how much do you like At the Lamb's High Feast we sing?
I love it. That's an every Easter hymn. You know, we sing that. We sing, of course, on Easter Sunday, you have the Lord's Supper, and that is the distribution hymn without fail.
Yes.
It's just a beautiful
In fact,
hymn.
In the category of the hymnal we're looking at, it's not under Easter.
Well, it talks about Easter triumph, Easter joy.
Yes, but
You're right, you could sing that year-round.
What's it under?
The Lord's Supper.
Yes, like you just said.
Yeah.
What's so amazing, we don't know who wrote it.
You're kidding.
No.
You're kidding.
Unless the guy's name is Latin.
Is it that old?
Yes. Somewhere between the 5th and 10th century. You know,
it's such a beautiful hymn.
I know.
You know, that shows these people were good musicians and hymnists even way back then.
My point is this. We think that once the Roman Catholic Church started changing doctrine, there was no true doctrine all during those centuries. No. Many hymns and many parts of the liturgy still spoke the true doctrine.
That's right.
And so what Luther simply did is got rid of those parts where they weren't backed up by Scripture. But the Deutsche Messe, the German Mass, is very familiar to Roman Catholics. That's why a lot of people think they're in a Roman Catholic church. But we don't, I don't like the way it ends. You know,
which one?
The Roman Catholic Church.
Oh.
Remember how it ends? The priest says, the Mass has ended, and everybody says, thanks be to God. When I went with my grandmother, I heard that. I said, why are they thanking the Mass has ended? But it was translated in 1860s by a Robert Campbell, who, of course, is English. But somewhere between the 5th and 10th century.
This was not in the old, the Lutheran hymnal.
Oh, is that right?
And I don't think so. But boy, no, I'll tell you, we were sure missing out for a few decades without this hymn, weren't we?
This is just issues, etc. You know, they have a radio program where they have music 24 hours a day. And they'll start the first stanza, and they'll say what century it was from.
Uh-huh.
And they go way, way back. And I think this was one of them from the 5th century. And then they go up, and as I listen, I said, boy, I thought that was written more recent.
Oh, I know. It has that kind of a feel. You know, it's more, you know, more of a, would you say, upbeat?
It's more Lutheran than one would expect.
Yeah.
That's how I put it. First stanza, please.
Okay, with pleasure. At the Lamb's high feast we sing praise to our victorious King, who has washed us in the tide flowing from his pierced side. Alleluia. Alleluia, sorry.
Alleluia. Yeah, my wife says, is it hallelujah or alleluia?
Either.
Yeah, well, it depends. This one starts with an A.
This is alleluia.
Okay, now, I thought we were washed in the waters of baptism, not washed from the tide flowing from his pierced side.
Yeah, but that that is really, how would you say, it's significant of baptism, because what flowed from his pierced side was the water and the blood.
Yes, in fact, in Romans 6, we were buried with him in baptism.
That's right.
So we ourselves were on the cross. And remember, without the shedding of blood,
there is no forgiveness of sins.
But it even goes so far to say that the ceremonial laws never gave forgiveness of sins, because it was the shedding blood of animals. They pointed forward to the
Lamb of God.
So anybody in the Old Testament who was saved, they were never saved by doing the ceremonial laws, but they were saved by the faith behind their doing them, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah.
Remember, the promise.
Abraham believed the promise, and it was accounted
to him as righteousness.
Excellent.
That's right.
So this is the Lamb's high feast, and that, of course, would be the Lord's Supper. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And apart from blood, then there was no sacrifice. So the waters of baptism actually apply to us the blood of Christ.
That's right.
In baptism.
Sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And God wanted somehow to give us a visible assurance that our sins are forgiven. And he does that through the waters of baptism. I'll read stanza 2. Praise we him whose love divine gives his sacred blood for wine, gives his body for the feast, Christ the victim, Christ the priest. Alleluia. Now, this is quite paradoxical. You're either the priest or you're the victim.
Yeah, the sacrifice.
In this case,
He's both.
Because he's the high priest.
That's right.
After the order of
Melchizedek.
Very good. And he's also the victim. What did John the Baptizer say when he saw him? Behold
the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world.
Yes. The more you think about it, the more amazing it is. Now, I'm going to give away one of the videos that I showed. I think I was sent this video by one of our listeners. And as soon as I saw it, I said, boy, I've got to show this. I'm trying to make the point of how you're going to be so happy when you get to heaven and see Jesus. And I said, I hope this doesn't offend you. But what the video was about, it was a station wagon. At the back of the station wagon, the window was down, and there was a dog there. And the woman was sitting in the front seat. And then around the corner comes a man who's her husband, who had just returned from Afghanistan. He was a soldier.
Yeah.
And it shows the dog looking around the corner. He jumps out of the window.
No kid.
Jumps to the ground, runs to him, and I'm not kidding, for 3 or 4 minutes, he is just jumping on him all the time.
No kidding.
He just cannot.
He recognized him right away.
Oh, my. And in fact, the funny thing, the wife says, boy, I didn't even get that kind of a welcome. But, you know, one of the things I just can hardly believe, I do believe it, but boy, it's hard, is that in heaven you'll never have a bad thought.
Yeah, yeah, think of that.
And I said, well, can you imagine, here I'm in heaven, and then I see Louise, and she has a higher degree of glory than me, and I'm not going to be envious?
Yeah, she'll be way up there as far as glory.
Oh, man. But no, the point is, you're going to be so enamored with Jesus, a bad thought won't even be possible.
That's right.
Like that.
Yeah.
In the sense of the dog, you know, just with his master, he was just so happy. So it makes the point that we're trying to say that in heaven, there's not only no sin of deed, but not even a word
not
or
even
a thought.
Or thought.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll be like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden prior
to the fall.
Their rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Stanza 3.
Where the paschal blood is poured, death's dread angel sheathed the sword. Israel's hosts triumphant go through the wave that drowns the foe. Alleluia.
Now, boy, what Bible verses are behind each one of those phrases? Well, what's paschal blood?
Passover?
Yes,
Passover,
very good. Where the paschal blood, the Passover blood is poured.
Spread upon the doorpost and the lintels of the door, right.
And death's dread angel sheathes the sword. Yes. What?
Well, the angel would pass over that household.
That's right.
And would not strike it with death.
People don't realize it. When they're going to the Lord's Supper, they're receiving the blood over which the angel of death is now going to pass over you.
That's right.
That's why we call it the Passover. But what's this one? Israel hosts triumphant go through the wave that drowns the foe.
Oh, well, see, that's depicting the passing through the sea of Israel.
Sea.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah.
And just like we pass through, you know, through the waters of baptism.
Exactly. And it drowns the foe in the waters
right.
of baptism.
Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful picture.
Oh, I know.
Isn't it?
Who wrote this?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Tell you,
it just really has, well, the translator has a lot to do with this
you
one
bet.
Also, and that's
you
Robert
bet.
Campbell. But one of the other videos I showed is that on YouTube there is, I was on television in 1974 arguing with moderates from the seminary and such, and The reason we did that and we had the walkout is that I was taught at the seminary that one of the possibilities of the Red Sea was that the Israelites went over on boats, and when the Egyptians tried to chase them in the Reed Sea and only had about 3 inches of water, their chariots sank in the mud. And that's what we were taught. And I put my hand up. I said to the professor, isn't that amazing that all those Egyptians drowned in 3 inches of water? He didn't laugh. But that's the kind of teaching we were getting at that seminary.
I remember that talk about the Reed Sea.
Oh, boy. Stanza 4. Praise we Christ, whose blood was shed, paschal victim, paschal bread, with sincerity and love, eat we manna from above. Do you notice how everything is tied back to the Old Testament?
That's right.
I did a sermon here, and you know I like to start off with questions that people get wrong. I said, did you receive that manna and the water from the rock? And, of course, nobody put their hand up because they weren't there. And the point I made then is, yes, you have. The manna is the?
Christ.
The Lord's Supper.
The Lord's body. The body
and
of
the
Christ.
Water from the rock?
Would be, of course, baptism.
Yes. In other words, we receive both of those, but in a far greater sense, because that's what it means to receive Christ. So I don't think a lot of people, this is why you need to sit down with your kids prior to church to go over him like this, because they don't know what paschal means.
No.
Passover and things like that. Stanza 5.
Mighty victim from the sky hails Fierce powers beneath you lie. You have conquered in the fight. You have brought us life and light. Alleluia.
Not hails. Fierce.
Yeah. Hell. Hell.
Hells.
Hells.
Yes. Now that's interesting. Mighty victim from the sky. Hell's fierce powers beneath you lie. What's that referring to?
It's talking about Christ.
That's right.
You know.
That he came from, I always like to say.
He came to suffer. He came to be the victim that would take away the sins of the world. And
it's talking about his incarnation.
That's right.
That he comes from heaven, but hell's fierce powers beneath you lie.
When he came to this earth, of course, he was casting out demons, right?
Yes. The Passion. Who did that? The movie. Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, right.
You know what the first scene is?
Yes, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
And he stamps the head of the snake.
Yes. Now, that's not part of the Gethsemane, but it shows hell's fierce power beneath you lie.
He's the promised woman seed who would come to crush the head of Satan.
Excellent. My turn. Now no more can death appall, now no more the grave enthrall. You have opened paradise and your saints, and you shall rise. Paradise, where do we get that word?
Well, we get that from the promise to the thief on the cross.
Excellent.
This very day you'll be with me in paradise.
Now, actually, paradise is the third level of Judaism in talking about the different levels of heaven. But it seems like the Bible uses that term to talk about the interim. And what's the interim?
The interim is the state between death and when Christ comes again and takes us to that new heaven, new earth.
Where you're only in the spirit.
Right.
And we know there are people like that because that's what we mean by the descended to hell, right, of the first Peter. And who are the spirits there in the interim?
Let's see.
The ones at Noah's time who were drowned.
Oh, who were Satan. They're with Satan.
They were in Sheol.
They're in chain.
Yeah, yeah. The descended to hell refers to that particular one.
Mm-hmm.
So your favorite verse, I'm sure, number 7.
Easter triumph, Easter joy, this alone can sin destroy. From sin's power, Lord, set us free, newborn souls in you to be. Alleluia.
What I really love about that is if you just have the first two lines, you can really be messed up. This alone can sin destroy. And you look at your life and sin isn't destroyed. You're still a sinner. But what is the destruction of sin, according to the third line?
From sin's power, Lord, set us free.
And what is sin's power? The curse of the law.
Oh, okay.
in fact, remember 1 Corinthians 15. The sting
of death is sin.
Is sin, and the power of sin
is the law.
Yeah, so the very words they're taking from 1 Corinthians 15, that once the curse of the law is overcome, then we are set free from sin. In fact, this is the way I said it on, it was actually a sermon I did. Christians are the only people who are free to do good works. Everybody else has to.
Yeah.
There's no obligation that we have to do good works in order to be saved. Just like there's no obligation for children in a family to have to do good works to be saved or to be part of the family. See if you can read 8, our last stanza.
Okay, that's a doxological verse here. It's one that we stand for. Father, who the crown shall give, Savior by whose death we live. Spirit, guide through all our days, three in one, your name we praise. Alleluia.
And we say doxological, that's referring to Trinitarian.
Right.
And that's why they have a little triangle in the front.
That's
What's
right.
that for?
That means that you stand
for
this doxological verse.
Will you be singing this hymn this Sunday?
Oh, I'll tell you. Very possibly.
Okay.
I haven't picked the hymns for Sunday, but I'm glad to hear that this one. You know, I hated we couldn't sing the one. You know the one, I Bind Myself in
Tunis.
You know, that was for last Sunday. And I'm just, it's a beautiful hymn. I love it, but I'm just afraid to try it. It's a little bit challenging to sing.
You need kind of a choir behind you.
But it is a beautiful
hymn.
Are
you having the Lord's Supper this Sunday?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay, so you can sing it.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us your service times.
Yeah, Saturday evening at 5 p.m., Saturday evening at 5 p.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. And, of course, Sunday it's at 9 a.m., the service. And we're located at 8646 New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection. We'd love to have you out here in Crestwood.
And your Bible study?
Bible study follows the service at about 10:30.
Okay. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, it's Insight Wednesday, and I always like to do insights. Well, I think the situation in Baltimore to have some kind of a Lutheran understanding. And so we're going to take an attempt at that as to how a Lutheran would understand it. The more I get and hear about politics, the more we need more Lutherans as politicians who are able to distinguish between the two kingdoms and recognize particularly the power of Satan. But we'll be talking about that tomorrow. Thank you, Pastor Mark Smith, for being with me. Hopefully next Tuesday. Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.